May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 120. With joy we meditate the grace of our High Priest above. His heart is made of tenderness, his bowels melt with love. 120.
read together from God's holy word the second epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians. And we'll read chapters 1 and 2. The second epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, reading chapters 1 and 2. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you, the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. May God bless that reading of his holy word to us, and may he help us in prayer. Most kind and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, thou who art holy, 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 the Lord God omnipotent reigning, O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt grant us a sense of thy majesty and thy holiness as we enter into thy house once more. Oh, we pray that we may come not in a carefree and careless manner, but that we may come into thy courts with our hearts made soft, with our consciences sprinkled with that precious blood. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant us a true heart before thee, a heart with repentance and humility, a heart contrite and broken before thee, that we may not come in a proud manner into thy house, but we may come with a sense of who thou art and what we are by nature. So, Lord, we would seek to be ever kept low at thy feet, but we would pray, hold us up, oh, that we may not sink into utter despair. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant those everlasting arms underneath, oh, that we may fall into them. We may know that resting in those eternal, everlasting arms, and proving the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Then, Lord, pray, we do pray that thou wilt make cause us to flee to that refuge in Christ Jesus. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou constrain and force and compel sinners to flee to thee in need this evening. Oh, that we may see souls awaken to see the danger, a never-ending eternity, the sins and transgressions, the iniquities that we have committed. Oh, and that door of mercy open, that city of refuge. Lord, we pray that there may be many hastening for that refuge, pressing toward that mark. Oh, that we may lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus. Oh, that we may see thee. Lord, there may be those times in our lives where we would look to thee but cannot find thee. Oh, may we be found looking toward thee, though we may not have a clear sight of thee, though we may not hear thy voice. Oh, but may we have that faith, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And though the flesh would ever like sight, yet how needful at times it is to walk by faith. How vital for us. So, Lord, do teach us, do lead us, do supply our every need. Thou knowest how little faith we feel to have. We would say with those of old, Lord, increase our faith. So help us this evening. Lord, may thy blessing rest upon the services of thy house. We pray and commit all that was done thus far today, and pray that thou art follow with thy blessing. But now, Lord, we come, and wilt thou appear to us? Wilt thou touch our hearts this evening? Wilt thou grant us a sense of thy presence? Oh, we beg thee, do come and stand in our midst. May it be as with those disciples, the doors being shut, Jesus himself stood in the midst. Oh, Lord, that will make it a good evening here this evening. If thou wilt stand in our midst, if we hear thy voice saying, peace be unto you. Oh, Lord, we pray that there may be a few hearts touched, that are sent on their way rejoicing, the knowledge that they are numbered amongst thy people, thy favour resting upon them. Oh, to know they're loved with an everlasting love, despite all their many failings and faults. Oh, may thy gospel sound out loud, that trumpet that sounds with no uncertain sound. Oh, may the dead be awakened. May thy voice quicken souls. May souls be brought out of nature's darkness into thy marvellous light. Lord, we pray that thou would work wonderfully in our midst, and may all the honour and glory be to thy holy name. Oh, we have nothing, Lord, thou knowest. We are poor, abase sinners of the earth. And how can we worship thee rightly this evening, except thou dost influence us from within, that thou breathe into us that breath of life. And so, Lord, do kindle our hearts and stir up our affections. and draw out from us that worship suitable this evening. Oh, we pray that there may be that sweet-smelling savour rising even this night from this place. Oh, to feel thy smile upon us. Oh, to know thy gracious, loving smile, that thou wilt be satisfied. Oh, that the Son of God may see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. So, Lord, we pray that thou bless us each. Thou knowest how we've each come this evening. Thou knowest the cases, the concerns, the mountains, the burdens. Be with lonely ones, those, Lord, who may be walking a deep, a dark pathway. Be with those, Lord, who feel they can't go on, they can't continue, that the way is too rough. They feel no encouragement, Lord. May thy word be that bench along the way, not a permanent rest, but may there be a pausing this evening, and then a going on. Oh Lord, we pray that there may be souls encouraged. Oh Lord, we pray that there may be those praying, exercised for others. We pray there may be that spirit of praying, one for another. We pray for the church, that thou wilt bless them and be with them. We pray for our dear friend who hopes to join the church here. We do pray that thou wilt bless him and help him and be with him and make him a blessing here. And do go on and be gracious further. Oh, that thou build up this place. Oh, that there may be a gathering in from the congregation into the church. Lord, thou knowest those that long, those that look on with a jealous eye, longing to be found amongst them. Oh, may there be such souls here this evening. Oh, may they hear, yet there is room. Room in the Father's house. Oh Lord, we pray then, do have mercy. We pray, Lord, for the deacons here in all their office, their duties, their responsibilities. We pray that thou strengthen them and bless them and be with them. We pray that the glorious gospel may ever be faithfully proclaimed from this pulpit. Lord, we pray that thou raise up godly men to go forth and preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Oh, that there may be a sending out of labourers into the harvest. Oh, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Oh, Lord, we pray that there may be a cause of truth here to the end of time. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, for this place. We thank thee that we meet in quietness. We thank thee, Lord, that we meet free from persecution. We don't meet fearing death or disruption. Oh, but do spare us these liberties. Ever spare them to this country. We see such a rise of Antichrist in our day. We wonder where the scene will end. But we know, we thank thee, that thou art still on the throne, and thou canst say thus far and no further. Thou canst restrain and bind back Satan, and overturn and frustrate all his schemes and plans. Oh, that thou canst make bare thy holy arm, deliver us from the power of sin and Satan, both in this land and personally in our hearts. So Lord, do remember us in our day. Remember this country. Remember our rulers, those that rule over us in all the confusion that abounds in government at present. We pray that thou wilt, do put in place those that fear thy name. We pray for those 10 members of Parliament who have now such power in our government and who face such an onslaught from the liberal side of this country. Lord, help them, use them, and bless this country. May there be others, Lord, who are raised up in high places, who know what Israel ought to do, given grace by thee and strength to stand firm. Restore to us our statute book with right laws once more. Overturn those wrong laws brought in, O Lord, and do pour out thy spirit up and down this land. May we live to see better days in our churches and in this country. Lord, we ask great things, but thou art a great and almighty Lord God. And thou hast said, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? O Lord, we pray then, to show thyself mighty on our behalf. And O Lord, as we think of our own hearts, and that constant conflict and battle with Satan, may we know, that water and the blood be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. We ask that thou wilt forgive us our sins. Forgive all that we ask amiss. Wash us in that precious fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. Bless us as we gather around thy table at the close of this service. And may we seek to remember thee. Let us never forget the cost of our salvation. We ask, Lord Jesus, in thy name. Amen.
Hymn 1044. Water from salvation's wells, thirsty sinner, come and draw. Grace in Jesus' fullness dwells, more than men or angels know. 1044.
turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 12. And with the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from the last verse, verse 13. Daniel chapter 12, closing verse, verse 13. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Book of Daniel, chapter 12, and the 13th verse. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Daniel, in these last few chapters, has had some revelations, visions of what is to come. And as this comes to a close in this 12th chapter, he sees Michael standing, the great prince, pointing forward to the deliverance of the Lord's people, the bringing about of an everlasting salvation, the hope of Israel. Daniel is questioning these things. He said, I heard, but I understood not. Verse 8, and then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel. Go thy way, Daniel. You're to rest in the knowledge that God is in control. These things will come to pass. But go thy way, Daniel. You walk out your life, Daniel. Do not trouble yourselves. Be careful and trouble about not about these things, Daniel. The certainty of it, yes. Oh, but not the whens. Don't question when. Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. And beloved friends, this evening as we read the epistle written, the letter written by Paul to the Thessalonians, their concern that they had heard of this second coming, and some had said it would be soon. Some had put dates on it. Such a great question had arisen since Paul had brought these things to their knowledge. This certain coming of our Lord Jesus, coming again a second time. Would they be alive to see it? When would it be? Oh, but it's unto you who are troubled. Rest with us. Well, I would begin this evening. Go thou thy way till the end be. There's a warning here in God's word. There is an end. You know, we get lulled along in our lives. One day is as the other. We think tomorrow will be the same as today. We go on and go on. Maybe there's not a lot going on in our lives, and we drift along, and we're already halfway through the year, aren't we? But beloved friends, one day these things will end. Oh, we know not when. We're unwise to try and guess. But let us rest our thoughts with this, that it will come. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. He will blow that trump one day. You know, those wise and foolish virgins, You know, there was five wise, five foolish. They all had lamps. Outwardly, they all looked the same. They had kept themselves. Their lamps were there. And we read that they all slept. The bridegroom tarried. Well, the bridegroom's tarrying. It's nearly 2,000 years since Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. The bridegroom's tarrying. But you know, he did come in that parable, didn't he? And the solemn thing is that five of them weren't ready. Five of them had been sleeping when they should have been out buying oil for their lamps. Five of them presumed that they had something. They had the lamp, but they were lacking the oil. And when it came, the sound of the bridegroom coming, "Go ye out to meet him, lighten up his pathway with your lamps." And they begin to trim their lamps. And what do they find? Not ready. There's nothing there. Nothing there. Does it trouble you? Troubles me. Am I? Am I ready? You say, but you're standing in a pulpit, you're speaking. Am I ready? Am I ready? Am I one who is to preach and then be found a castaway at last? Am I giving out everything that is in me? Is there anything remaining for me? Am I ready? Is there the oil of grace in my lamp? Am I to be found coming short at that great day? Oh, that the Lord would give us diligence, that we may give diligence to make our calling and our election sure. Beloved friends, there's a solemn warning this evening. Till the end be. Go your way. How are you going to go your way from this evening onwards? Go your way, says the text this evening, till the end be. And I can't tell you when that end will be for you and for me. But how are you going to go your way from this evening onwards in your life? And how am I? You know, those five wise virgins, they had oil in their lamps. They were ready. And though they slept, they were ready. They heard him coming. They prepared their lamps. They lit them. They went out to meet him. And those five, oh, you know, grace can't be transferred. You can't borrow grace at that great day from a loved one. You can't get it from your parents. You can't get it from your husband or your wife. There won't be any borrowing any at that great day. They had to go and buy some. And while they were gone, the bridegroom came. They that were ready went in, and the door was shut. Oh, friends, may a few of us be found seeking that oil of grace while the door is open. Oh, while it is today, while he may be found, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Because, friends, there will be that day coming when he won't be found and he won't be near. And it's a solemn, solemn point. The door of mercy. We live in a day of grace, and the day of grace is continuing. But one day that day of grace will end, and they that are ready will go in with him to the marriage. And it won't matter what you've done in your life or what you haven't done. If you're not ready, you're not ready. And who can make themselves ready? None of us. Oh, but he can. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Go thou thy way till the end be. I remember when I was younger, there's so much about the turn of the millennium and the year 2000, and all people said, well, maybe it'll be the end of the world, 2,000 years, and all sorts of things. I remember being quite alarmed sometimes about it, but, you know, we need more than just being a little alarmed. Did it drive me to the throne of grace? Sadly, it didn't. A little concern here and there. A little concern in reading these portions of God's word where it speaks of a judgment day and a never-ending eternity. But when the Lord really begins, when that word is sealed in as an arrow in the heart, am I ready to meet God? Am I ready? Am I made a real Christian? Washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union with the church's living head? Have I any hope, any ground? Daniel has. For thou shalt rest. There's a prospect for him. There's a hope for him. He has an end with expectation. Daniel, fret not over how long or how short, but look at the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Look at the inheritance. Look at the certainty of it, Daniel. And rest here. Rest here in that promise of an everlasting salvation. For thou shalt rest. There's a rest to be had for Daniel. An everlasting rest. Go thy way forth. So how are you and I going to go our way forth? Some, I pray, this evening will go forth in the footsteps of the flock, following the Lord Jesus, walking day by day in his fear, looking to him for everything. Oh, it'd be a wonderful thing if the whole of this congregation this evening were found walking in union, walking on that straight and narrow way, going forth in the footsteps of the flock, asking their way to Zion with their faces thitherward, having all the signs and evidences of a people journeying to that promised land. I wonder how many of us are walking that right, that straight, that narrow way. How many of us desire to? You know, it's one thing to desire the cleansing of the precious blood of Christ. Do you desire the water and the blood? Do you desire the dampening of your sinful lusts and desires? Will you have Christ to reign over you? Will you be separated from your besetting sins? You know, it's one thing to want to escape from an everlasting punishment in hell. It's another one to give yourself as a living sacrifice. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. Oh, the power of sin raging in your heart. Do you want it subdued? Do you want that water of the Spirit to quench that raging fire of lust and evil in your heart? Do you want Christ to reign in your heart triumphantly? What's the effect of it? Oh, there's a separation. There's a separating from the world. There's a turning your back on former things. There's a turning in your life. There's a conversion, beloved friends. There's a turning around. You're journeying that way and you're brought to journey that way. And you flee from the world and all its pursuits and pleasures. You don't just hold them with a loose hand, you don't want to hold them at all. Oh, there's a spirit to be going forth in, isn't it? Oh, there's the going forth. Go thy way till the end be. And to you, says Paul, who are troubled. You're troubled. Well, is it a trouble to you? Is this certainty of a judgment day a trouble to you this evening? Oh, I hope it's a trouble to some. I hope it is. Those of you who know not the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Saviour and your friend, I hope it's made a trouble to you. I hope eternity has made a tremendous sound to you. Oh, that you may be awakened to see the danger and to flee for refuge to that hope set before us. But what are those others? Oh, what of those others who have sought to go forth, who have taken up their cross and followed him? You know, even to them, eternity's a trouble. At times, it has a horror to it. It does. Those that have known and felt and handled and tasted that the Lord is gracious, yet when you look at your own self and the way you have gone forth up to this day, you say, am I amongst those who really have obtained? Have I obtained like Paul writes of? Oh, that the Lord would seal into our hearts a fresh token of pardoned sin and love and blood and the righteousness of Christ. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Oh, you say, let that word seal into my heart. Chosen. God has chosen. From the beginning, God has chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. God has chosen his people from the beginning and then sent forth his Holy Spirit to sanctify, to separate them from the world, to work in their hearts, to bring about a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour, to so work in their hearts as to strip them of everything that they rest on in themselves and point them to the Lord Jesus Christ as that sure and certain rest and belief of the truth, whereunto he hath called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is the inheritance of the people of God. They are to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that, beloved friends, would do it this evening, would it not? Would that not take your fear away this evening, you poor tempted children of God who look at yourselves and, oh, you're so much to cast you down. Where is my faith? Where is my grace? Where are these works? Where's the fruit? I'm a branch that should be cut off. Where's the fruit? Is it all leaves? To hear the Lord say, I have chosen thee. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And I've chosen thee. And thou art to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, the prospect of heaven. Oh, that hope of heaven. What a prospect. Well, then, what is that second coming to the child of God in us who has a sense of his part in that finished work of the Lord Jesus? Oh, what is it? Oh, it's a prospect, isn't it, of glory. And what is his feeling? He says, come, Lord Jesus. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. I am the Bride. I am the root and the offspring of David. The Bright and Morning Star, says the Lord Jesus. And in reply, oh, the Spirit and the Bride of Christ, she says, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Oh, this living fountain of water. Oh, that gives hope to troubled souls. Paul writes, unto you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Oh, that there is no fear then. Perfect love, it casts out fear. Then is that what you need this evening? Lord, show me that love. Give me that love. Grant me that love in my heart that sweeps away all these doubts and fears. Oh, that takes away my dread of a never-ending eternity, which brings in my heart a feeling of, Lord Jesus, come when thou wilt. Oh, I'm made willing to part with all here below, to leave all and to follow him. It's that final, the final article of death is exactly that, isn't it? It's a parting of all earthly ties. It's a soul casting his everlasting all into the hands of his Saviour. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. Oh, are you seeking that grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? You know, he died a dark death on that cross. What do I mean? Well, the hymn writer says, doesn't he? He says, his way was much rougher and darker than mine. You think of our Lord Jesus Christ in the very article of death. Oh, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me? It's a mystery to us. But the Lord Jesus, the Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Jesus Christ the man, feeling that separation, the darkness. My God, oh, that death he died for his people. A death that they should have died. You know, if you and I are born again of his Spirit, oh, what a prospect to die the death of the righteous. To die the death of the righteous, where the sting of death is taken. Where death is a passage to glory. But consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You know, it's looking unto Jesus. Go thou thy way till the end be. Trembling child of God this evening. Fearful of the article of death maybe. Fearing what the Lord will bring you through to get you to the article of death. Oh, look to Jesus. It's looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what was the joy that was set before him? Oh, the prospect of receiving into heaven all of his dearly bought children. The joy of fulfilling the commandment given by the Father, in fulfilling his part of that covenant of grace, in being obedient, in being given that glorious welcome into heaven as he ascended into heaven triumphant, bringing all his enemies, making them his footstool, conquering them all, and reigning triumphant, defeating death, and bringing life to his people for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, then look to Jesus. Pour not on thyself too long, lest it sink thee lower. Look to Jesus, kind as strong, mercy joined with power. Power to save, power to uphold, power to bring you safely through. But go thy way till the end be. These are very similar words to those spoken to the disciples on that resurrection morning, when they went to the tomb and found it empty, and those words of consolation given. I'll read them in Mark's Gospel, and he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold a place where they laid him. But go your way. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. And there shall ye see him, as he said unto you. Oh, these promises that he spoke and he fulfilled. We only got to go a couple of chapters before, and the Lord Jesus says, and ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Beloved friends, we have a risen, exalted Saviour, who has walked every step of the way before his people. He has gone on before his people. He has made a way where there is no way. Oh, and in his command to them, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Oh, to be found following in his footsteps. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Oh, there, the prospect then, it is one of going forth. Almighty God has commanded Daniel, go thy way, thou thy way till the end be. But Daniel, you're not going on your own. Daniel, I've gone on before thee. Daniel, I've made provision for you day by day. poor, tempted, burdened sinner this evening who says, well, how can I go my way? You said, how will you go this evening onwards in your life? How will I go on? Well, it's looking unto Jesus. It's seeking daily help. It's seeking a spirit of confession, of repentance. It's seeking faith by prayer and supplication. It's pleading for mercy. It's pleading for help. It's seeking a daily cleansing from your sin. It's seeking to be washed daily, as daily you falter and fail. But the Lord has promised that he will supply the every need of his people. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You're not to go on your way and go alone and make your own way. It's go on your way. Oh, but I will guide, and I will protect, and I will provide. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Our coming, our going out, and our coming in, from this day forth, even for evermore. Oh, there's a daily watching over his sheep. He's that good shepherd. He counts them out of the sheepfold in the morning, and he counts them back in at night. And they've picked up a disease here, and he cleanses it from them. And he looks at the injuries that have come about, and he heals up those and binds them up, and he pours in the oil, and he does all that they need. He's a loving, sympathizing Saviour. He cares much for his sheep. Oh, then there's a comfort in that command when he says, but go thou thy way. In my strength, in my grace is sufficient for thee. Yes, you're not sufficient yourself. Our sufficiency is of God. But my grace is sufficient for thee. And my strength is made perfect in weakness. And there's the encouragement. There is the secret to those that endure to the end. Those that do not make shipwreck of their faith, they go forth seeking daily help, guidance, direction. If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Oh, they won't move a step without him. He says, go forth. Forth they go. They don't turn to the right hand or to the left, except he speak it. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest. Rest. Well, it's not a rest found here. We don't seek our rest here below. We're seeking our rest, a city not made with hands, whose builder and maker is God. This is not our rest, it is polluted. But, beloved friends, there is a rest. There is a rest here below for the people of God. They do labour. They do strive and battle with the tempter, the enemy in their heart. But at times, there is a rest for them. When they're brought to look to the Lord Jesus, when he gives them a sight of their safety, when he gives them a sense of his love to them, when he speaks a word of peace to them, when he comforts their hearts, when he takes them aside and he whispers peace to them, that there's a resting in his word, a resting in his promises. Oh, there's a rest to be found in the word of God. Faith lays hold of the precious promises in God's word, and it rests in what Christ Jesus has done. They rest from labouring to make themselves fit for heaven. Oh, they're not left to give up striving to live better lives. Don't get me wrong. Oh, they've a heart that wants to please God. So they're diligent. They strive. They labour to live a better life. But it's not labouring to the intent of their heart that they will make themselves fitter for heaven. Oh no, they've rested from that. They've ceased from that labour. They've seen the false, that's a false labour. They've been awakened out of that, labouring in that bondage that Satan would have them. They rest in what the Lord Jesus has done. For thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the day. So there's a help, there's a comfort for pilgrims this evening. The command to go forth till the end be. And when that end is, we know not, but it will come. And we know we're one day nearer today than we were yesterday. But oh, to have that prospect, for thou shalt rest. In the book of Revelation, John heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labours, and their works do follow them. Oh, this then, the prospect. The prospect of heaven, an eternal rest. A resting in heaven at last, and they're to stand in their lot. Oh, they're heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus. You know, I thought of a lot about Ruth gleaning in that field. And in her labouring, gleaning, it was back-breaking, laboursome labour. But one day she would be resting, inheriting that whole field. One day she's a gleaner, picking a piece of corn up from here and there. And not soon after, she's taken into marriage with the owner of that field. It's hers. It's her inheritance. It's her lot. You know, a few labourers here this evening, you can't raise your expectation to that, can you? You want a crumb from the master's table? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many resting places. Oh, these places prepared for his people. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Go thou thy way then. He's gone on before. Follow him, dear trembling sinner this evening. Follow him by faith. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. There's the prospect. This is the second coming. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Stand in thy lot, an inheritance that cannot be taken away. Oh, joint heirs with Christ, a kingdom to be inherited rightfully. You say, how can I stand? Bold shall I stand in that great day. Why? It's this morning's subject, the robe of righteousness. No second-class citizen in heaven, a rightful heir of a kingdom. Why? I'm in Christ Jesus. He's lived a life I could not live. Oh, that hymn, it says, doesn't it, not one of our hymns, a life I did not live, a death I did not die. Well, that's it, isn't it? I rest my whole eternity upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, another's life, another's death. I rest my whole eternity. Oh, to have a heart that can speak language like that. Oh, what a sense of peace with God. Oh, a kingdom is yours, treasures in heaven, and an eternal rest, and stand in thy lot at the end of thy days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Amen.
Collections, Last Lord's Day, which of a Christian Concern and the Christian Legal Centre amounted to £1,055.03. God willing, Mr. Ince is expected to preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Philip Warren next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 925. Peace, by his cross as Jesus made, the church's everlasting head, o'er hell and sin has victory won, and with a shout to glory gone. 925.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.